So the four views of faith, the unbeliever, the believer, the north, the measurement of God, God's justice, you can't break that. Now the south, God's grace. Now we're going to talk about the seed of faith. Four vistas of faith, and now the faith as a seed. Faith is talked about as a seed by Jesus in several different places. We talked about one recently on Sundays. A man planted a seed and it grew in a great tree. That's going to be talked about here as we see Abraham, Sarah, and David discussed. Now we're getting into some practical examples. Real people, real lives, flesh and blood, living out faith with God. Chapter 4, verse 1, ask a question again. What shall we say about Abraham, our father? You might have sung that song before when you're a little kid or Sunday school, Father Abraham, and you go spinning around. Pertaining to the flesh has found. What did Abraham find? He's called the father of our faith. Why? He set the blueprints of faith that God said, that's the blueprint that I want Annie to follow. That's the blueprints that I want Mark to follow. That's the blueprints of faith, what Abraham did. So it's an important study.
Kids are plenty alive. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. Time to get practical. Practical examples, Abraham. Again, grace, the antithesis, the enemy of grace is pride. The only thing that destroys pride is grace. They don't get along at all. One's going to kill the other. Either pride's going to be raised up and grace is going to be excused, or vice versa. So we go for grace here. That's our only hope. Praise God. Where does believing take place? Verse 3, chapter 4. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It was counted unto him for righteousness. That's what the scripture says. First question here. Abraham believed God. Where does believing take place? Where does believing take place? Is it a mental thing? Well, the scripture tells us, Romans 10, what you're going to be in, says it's in the heart. It's in the heart. Not your physical heart, but it's a deeper part. It's the deepest part of your human soul, your heart. So believing takes place there. Circumcision is the challenge they had at that day. I'm glad they used this example because it's completely ridiculous to us. But we have ridiculous things that are just as ridiculous. It's like we're holding on to something. Something that we can't let go of, that we think, you know, God will only approve of me if I have this particular thing. If I have this certain Christian language or, worship on Saturdays, or I say Jesus as Yeshua, and, you know, all these different things, that the hang-ups that we get in the heart. It's hard to shake when someone has a belief in their heart. That's why the challenge is coming with the circumcision, because they really believed in their heart about it. It was hard for Paul. He's spending a lot of time on it. To get them from it, because it's falling short of grace. They're trusting in something that wasn't the blood of Jesus. So it might be the Sabbath, communion, baptism, tithing, some spiritual gift. I've got tongues, so that's what it is. Worship, I'm just a worshiper, and I'm a 100% worshiper. I'm class A, triple A worshiper. Or it's all about the teaching. I've heard people that can't stand the music. They come in just to hear the word of God. And, it's not about worship. It's about the word. All these things that we elevate that can become sacramental idols. They can become idols. Teaching can become idols. It can become an idol. The love has dissipated. It's all become about this great teaching. And it's something that would be at the expense of following and knowing Christ. These things can get in the way. How about other things? Someone might say their purity, their virginity, that's what it is. Or ministry, the ministry that God's called me to. And that can become an idol. It can become that circumcision. You're believing in something at the expense of following and knowing Christ. Now to him that works, in verse 4, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if you think you're doing something, ministry, whatever it is, to get rewarded, that's called works. And that's the opposite of grace. It goes against grace. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So when do the above things become a religious idol, the circumcision, all these things? When payment is due, and that's the central motivation. It's like payday is coming. That's your motivation. The idea of working in that sense is putting the cart before the horse. The horse is not the do's and the do-nots, but the done's. It's resting in Jesus Christ. The relationship with God is not one of proving God, but standing in the proof the cross. Some examples of David now, verse 6 through 8. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We just talked about David and his adultery, his murder, the things that he was involved in. Now take a look at these verses that we're reading. Should have a little more meaning to you. Blessed is the man unto whom God doesn't count the things that I've done. I've been forgiven, purged, it's gone. He will not impute sin to. He really understood this. And from that sprung great psalms pouring from his heart. David slew Goliath. He was a strong man of faith. Slew Goliath, slew the giant. But grace eventually slew him. Have you been slewn by grace? Has that happened to you in your life? Verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he had his circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in the circumcision, but in the uncircumcision. So before even Abraham took that step to do the physical outward things, he believed in God. So that was just a seal. Baptism might be a good comparison to circumcision. Those are the things that we do that kind of show that we are believers. It's an outward sign. You don't get baptized and then saved. It's something you do shortly after, hopefully. Does anybody ever wonder why God chose circumcision as a sign? It's obviously a very personal area. You can't tell it's hidden, but it's outside, but it's hidden behind clothes. Well, we know from Abraham's life that he took the advice of his wife, not waiting for the promise of God. He said, hey, go into my maid. Go into the maid. She'll be the surrogate mom. You know, maybe God has that. Maybe God will, that's what God will do. He'll bless that. But that's, again, playing the games. And, hey, let's help God out here. Circumcision came after that. So that mistake of Abraham. So kind of a reminder to trust in God and not our own ways. A very private reminder. So Abraham is the blueprint of faith. He's not without mistake in his life. He's not without those fleshly challenges that we all stumble in. Did that ruin God's plan? When he listened to his wife and he decided, hey, I'm not going to wait for God to bless us because we're so old. Did that ruin God's plan? No, it didn't. God was still faithful. And getting back to the earlier readings there, does our mistakes change the faithfulness of God? No, it doesn't. Abraham is a great example. That's why we call him the father of our faith. We can even learn from his mistakes. So even in that mistake, a child was born when it wasn't God's chosen child where Christ would come through. The Arab nation would come from that. And the Muslim people recognize Abraham as well. That's why they call it an Abraham religion. They go back to Abraham, but it's Hagar, the maid, and the son that came through that, Ishmael. So as we make these things in our life, you play these games, you know, reasoning, you know, maybe this is God's idea and it sounds good because it sounds good. So you reason things out. I call it the three R's of walking with the Lord. You reason things out and you come up in your mind and it sounds good and you think God is going to bless it, but then you have to have the humility to be able to review. The three R's: reason, revelation, and review. We reason with the God-given mind that God has placed in there. Then we look for revelation. We put it all before him. And we have the humility to review. Was this really you, God? No, it wasn't, in this case with Abraham. But God is still faithful. Is faith a big deal to God? Verses 11 through 13 kind of help us with that. And he received a sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they not be circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise, verse 13, that he should be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Is faith a big deal to God? Now, we're going to look at the word seed there in verse 13. Faith being a seed. Abraham's faith. Is faith a big deal to God? Jesus mentions this. He says, when the Son of Man comes, Luke 18:8, will he find love on the earth? No. Will he find what? Faith. Will he find faith on the earth? Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Jesus was constantly looking at people's faith, unbelievers and alike, Gentiles and Jews, much more than love. Much more than love. So which is greater? Kind of like asking what's more important, the chicken or the egg. Because from faith, fruit is born. From your faith in God, fruit is born. Faith produces fruit. That's the root. Your faith is the root that sinks down. And it's going to produce love in your life. As you trust God and walk with Him, believe in His promises, there's going to be fruit in your life. The greatest is love. And that says in 1 Corinthians 13, it makes it real easy for us. Faith and hope and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. They which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. So if you're obedient to the law, trying to be good, circumcision, all these outward things, baptism, it would make faith void. The blood of Jesus Christ would be void. The cross would be no good. The promise made of none effect. Because the law works wrath, in verse 15, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Wouldn't it be great to have a school with no rules? There would be no detention. You late to class? So what? No rules. How about no highway rules? No speeding tickets? No problem at all. That's what's saying here. The law works wrath. Where there is no law, there's no transgression. No problem. Do whatever you want. Well, there is one problem. There would be a lot more dead people. There wouldn't be any speeding tickets, but there would be a lot of lost lives. School with no rules would be complete chaos. It would be, could you imagine what a zoo? It's already kind of a zoo. But what a kazoo it would be. Okay, verses 15 through 19, the seed. Really get into the seed. This is incredibly important. Try to wake up a little bit. These are some tough teachings, these two chapters. A lot of big words, a lot of talking about circumcision, doing good. But there's a lot of important things in here about the blueprints of our faith. 15 through 19, because the law works wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, remember, faith unlocks the grace. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to them also which is of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they are, though they were. So that's God's faithfulness. Doesn't matter what is going on. He's still faithful. He still sees the beginning from the end. Who against hope believed in hope, now talking about Abraham in verse 18, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. They're both about 100 years old and still waiting for that promise. Waiting for that promise. 100. This is the blueprints of our faith. God would say, this is awesome. This is what I want you to look at regarding your faith. The seed, and it's a seed of faith. It's something so small. It moves mountains. It does big things. What's the substance of faith here? This is plug-in equation of faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things unseen. What's the substance of faith here? It's the promise in verse 17. I have made thee a father of many nations. It was recorded. It was written. It's something you could see, you could feel, you could open up to. It's a promise. It's substance. It's seen. What's the thing being hoped for? What's the hope, the unseen part of that? A son. That's the fruit of that promise is going to be a son. We don't know what he looks going to look like. Is he going to have orange hair, green hair? What's he going to be like? Tattoos when he comes out? We don't know. What's the thing hoped for? That's part of the equation of faith here. This is the blueprints of faith. The substance is the word of God. It's the promise. The thing hoped for is a son. That was what the promise, the object of the promise was. We also know in faith that it's the evidence of things unseen. What was the evidence? What was the evidence? It was the birth of the son, the birth of Isaac. What was the unseen? The rest of the nations. Jacob, the 12 sons, tribes, Jesus coming 2,000 years ago. 1948, the birth of Israel as a nation. What still is unseen in that promise is the third temple, which they're getting ready to build. The second coming of Christ. All of these things coming from that promise. So there's still unseen aspects of it. Faith is our walk along that trail. Anything that is not of faith is sin. You're off the trail. Important verses here about your faith and the things that God has told you. He is going to value you holding strong onto those things. God is going to reward. That's the promise. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Man, that's the chihuahua that's nipping at our heels. As soon as you know you're praying and you think, God, I'm believing, it just almost as fast as you do that, the black cloud comes over unbelief. And it feels like you're just pushing that away all the time. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, the substance, the word of God, he was able also to perform. Not just make promises and not come through with it. That's hard to do when you're 99 and she's way past menopause. And your eyes say one thing. Honey, do you think it's going to be today? He staggered not at the promise of God. They kept having relations. A husband and wife, they're 100 years old. Okay, don't miss that here. Okay. Believing. Is it going to be tonight? Huh? Being fully persuaded what he had promised he was able to come through on. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. His belief, his trust, when everything didn't make sense. God says that is right on. That's right on. That's the God that created us. When he comes back to this earth, he's going to be looking for that. Will he find faith? Will he find faith in this earth? He asked that question. It's almost kind of like a sad, empty question. Will I find faith? Always challenging the disciples. Oh, you have little faith. Then during the different events and so forth. Staggered not. What's the enemy is unbelief there. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's the substance of our faith. The unseen is you're hoping on that. Fully persuaded in that. That's the unseen part. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Framed by what? The word of God. Not quarks and, you know, and molecules and things like that. Yeah, that what's even behind that is something that is not of physical. It's the word of God. It frames our whole universe. We have people that are in different countries building colliders, looking for particles that will explain the universe and so forth. And what's holding everything together? They still don't know what holds everything together. And miles of these collisions, you know, the miles of these particle accelerators, so expensive, billions of dollars to find out Hebrews 11:3. They're framed by the word of God. smaller than microscopic, not in the physical. That's the glue. Job, I would go there, but we don't have time tonight, 38, where he takes Job through a whole bunch of stuff about the dinosaurs, about the oceans, about the clouds, about the mountains. And it's all the Word of God. Why does the dinosaur have such, you know, big armored plate? It's the Word of God that's putting all that together. Why do the oceans come up to a certain point and they stop there? They're proud waves. Because it's the Word of God that's all in there. It's all in that molecular structure. It's all part of it. It's holding everything together. When Jesus calmed the sea, it wasn't just some magic trick. That sea, the things holding that together, that storm even, all those particles and all that chaos going on, the Word of God was in there. He's directing that. He's speaking to that. The wind doesn't have ears. The ocean doesn't have ears. It's the Word of God. It's all that glue that's holding all of those things. When he healed the woman, had the spirit of infirmity, same thing. It's the Word of God that all within her that he's speaking to. When we sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, it brought in the corruption. What was perfect, the Word of God holding everything together, corruption came in. And he separated the two worlds. Faith is our entry back into that perfect world, and we trust in the perfect Word of God. And that uncorrupts things. That's our entryway into the perfect, into healing, into the mighty wisdom of God, into the glory of God, into the gifts of God. We reach from a corrupt world into a perfect world, His kingdom, with the keys of faith. When God said, be fruitful and multiply, that's the Word of God is in all these creatures to do that. To have children. There's something in us. You know, why do you have children? Well, I think she looks pretty good, or you know, I think she'd make a great wife. There's something in you that's the Word of God. It said, be fruitful and multiply. It energizes the whole world. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. It's working in everything. He set the plant cycle in motion, the water cycle in motion. All of these things, when he said these things are driven by the Word of God, it's in everything. Praise God. Leave you with a simple promise today. Finish the rest of that chapter some other time. A simple promise to be fully persuaded in. And that's simply this. Psalm 143. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. God is good. You've heard people say that. It comes kind of cliche-ish. But I want you to sink your roots down into that. It's Psalm 143, verse 10. Sink your roots down into that. God is good. God is good. Bad news, God is good. Good news, God is good. Medium news, God is good. Do you have energy to do one more song? A lot of engineering today, guys. It's a lot of hard work going through the blueprints of faith, but there's a lot of stuff to learn there.
The Lord, gracious and compassionate. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
forward to just moving forward in faith and be able to use that key of faith more and more as we go through Romans here and understand more how to use this key. Not to have it hidden, but to be unlocking things and unlocking things on a daily basis, realizing that your word is all around us, Lord God. It's embedded in everything. Your promises are there. The worlds are framed with it. And Lord Jesus, that the key is there. We just have to unlock it. Praise you, Lord God. You're training each one of us, equipping us, that you will find faith when you come down to Port Byron. You will find faith here. We will be walking the streets and doing what you did, but even in greater number, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord God, that these things will come to pass. Fully persuaded, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.